talk about traditions. And man, I didn't know I'd be here this morning. But I guess the Spirit of the Lord knew. Oh, I hope you have listened carefully to what the Spirit of the Lord has said today. Sunday school hour, even yet this morning. He has already spoken to us. Don't take lightly what the children have done. The Spirit of God has spoken to us through the children. That's the trouble with us. Our flesh wants to reach all those silly little children. But no, it's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will choose whomever He chooses, whenever He chooses, to speak to His children. We must be alert and we must be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And children, I speak to you that you said, and I command you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, to drop your weapons against me. Well, if you don't see this miracle this morning, and I'm not saying you won't, because even as I stand here and talk, it could happen. Even as we're singing, it could happen. That's what Jesus said, now is the hour. But we trust Him for the reasons why. It doesn't happen the way we think it should happen or when we should happen. We trust Him because He loves us. We trust Him because He knows what He is doing, because He truly cares for His children. He cares about each and every one of us, and He knows what He is doing in our lives. And we can trust Him because of that. I praise His holy name. I praise Him for what He is doing. Hallelujah. First Corinthians 11. Neil has covered what we covered before in the Sunday school hour. Pardon? Verse 17. But in what I instruct you next, I do not commend you, because when you meet together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. And we're going to see what he's talking about. Too long in our churches, we have not met for the better. We have met for the worst. We haven't really partaken of the flesh of Jesus and partaken of the blood of Jesus, which was a distasteful thing to the disciples. For in the first place, when you assemble as a congregation, I hear that there are cliques, divisions, and factions among you. And I, in part, believe it. And we read from 1 Corinthians 1:10, where he spoke about the division, the disunity. And it was displeasing to him. And the Lord speaks to us not only in 1 Corinthians 1:10. We see in the Acts how when they were of one mind, of one accord, many signs and wonders were performed. God is saying to us this morning, we are not of one mind and we are not of one accord. Even within ourselves, we are not one with the Spirit. There is the flesh or the soul that is so smothered, the Spirit that has been breathed into us, that has so smothered the Spirit that is within us, that we cannot hear. And sometimes, not only we cannot hear, but we willfully choose not to hear. Some have willfully chosen to walk away from the truth that God is speaking. Even now, some of us are walking away, and we are willfully choosing to walk away. Those are the strongholds that are coming against us from Satan. Those are the strongholds that we can command away in the name of Jesus, like that song has spoken to us this morning. It isn't always that easy as we think it is. Though the power within us is greater, the flesh is heavy. It is cumbersome. We are filthy within, and the Lord wants us to clean that out. He wants us to command these things that are within it. Take authority over them in the name of Jesus, for we are overcomers. We are overcomers in Him. He goes on, verse 19, for doubtless there have to be factions or parties among you. There has to be. There have to be factions or parties among you in order that they who are genuine and of approved fitness may become evident and plainly recognized among you. We have to be approved fit for the work that God has for us. We are His warriors, His chosen ones, and we have to be approved. We have to run that race that he sets up before us. We can't give up when the things that we see, the things that we feel, the things that are going against us, we can't give up when that first comes to us. We are overcomers in Jesus, and we have to fight our way through. In order to possess that land, we have to overcome the enemy. We have to tear down the strongholds in order to be fit disciples for Jesus Christ. This is what he's saying. It must become evident. The chaff must be shifted from the wheat in order for real life to come. The chaff has to be sifted from our lives, from our souls, in order that seed can be planted in the ground and bear fruit. And that fruit of the Spirit will grow. We don't produce it on our own, but it will grow. So when you gather for your meetings, it is not for the supper instituted by the Lord that you eat. Boy, he knew. He saw straight through them. Paul did. And even though he's talking about a literal coming together and eating as gluttons, he's talking more. He's talking about our attitudes of our hearts, the selfishness, the greed, the lust of the world that we have within it. This is what he's talking about. And he says, so when you gather for your meetings, it is not the supper instituted by the Lord that you eat. For in eating, each one hurries to get his own supper first, not waiting for the poor. And one goes hungry while another gets drunk. We're more concerned of how comfortable we are, how way things go the way we want them to go, instead of seeing the need of someone else beside us. There's selfishness. There's greed. There's many other reasons that the Spirit of the Lord has been trying to show us. Our sense of self-worth, our fear of inadequacy. There's so many other reasons why we're turning to the world while we're giving into this, instead of going the way the Lord wants us to do. There's so many things. And so as a result of our greed, as a result of our selfishness, as a result of these strongholds in our life, other people are going hungry. The poor is going hungry. The poor in spirit. There are needy ones out there. The Father says, the fields are ripe unto harvest. Where are my laborers? Where are they? And people, God is calling his laborers forth now. He is calling them forth to carry on the work that he chose you to do. We read that earlier too. He has chosen us to fulfill the will of the Father. And what was the will of the Father? To love one another. No greater love can anyone have but to lay down his life for a friend. He also commissioned us to go forth to baptize in his name. He commissioned us to raise the dead. He commissioned us to heal the sick, to restore the sight. He commissioned us to do that. No, it is not of ourselves, but in him we can do all things. It is the power of Christ within us that will do it. But the power of Christ is having difficulty getting through because of these weaknesses, these things that are within us. It's having difficulty to go through. And because of these things, because of our selfishness, because of our greed, many people are going hungry. What? Verse 22. Do you have no houses in which to eat and drink? Do you despise the church of God and mean to show contempt for it while you humiliate those who are poor, have no homes and have brought no food? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, most certainly I will not. In James 2:6, in the second chapter of James, and I won't turn to it now, but it talks about how someone comes in and how nice he looks and how pleasant he looks. And we give him the seat of honor instead of the one who is poor and destitute. We are more concerned about the appearance of things, how nice things look, not only with people, but we're more concerned about that. Well, we don't want to ruffle anyone's feathers. And the enemy has deceived the church in tickling the ears of his children, and they're not receiving the truth. And when the truth is spoken, if we don't receive it in the Spirit, we run. And this is what happens. Some of us are still running today. We're not giving the fully committed lives that Jesus Christ is asking us to give. We're still running away. Why? Oh, people, for so many different reasons. And if the Lord should give us an offer to come to find out, then we should go. Because we are going to find out. We're going to have to submit to one another. We're going to have to submit to the discipline. Because God will have a people that he is calling forth. We have shown despise and contempt. You have heard us speak of that many times. We have despise and contempt for the ways of the Lord, because it is distasteful to take of this flesh and eat of this blood the way Jesus Christ is asking us to take of this flesh and eat of this blood. It is downright distasteful. And we are no different than the way the disciples, the Jews, spoke about it when Jesus told them to partake of the flesh and partake of the blood. We are no different. But I have to say this, though I'm coming on strong in this, I know the Spirit of the Lord wants us to hear this truth. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the blood of Jesus covers us, covers that guilt and shame that the enemy would have us walk in, rather than victorious Christians that we really are. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord himself that which I passed on to you. It was given to me personally that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was treacherously delivered up, and while his betrayal was in progress, took bread. You know, I can speak these words that Paul says. He literally was in the upper room with Jesus. I mean, the disciples were in the upper room with Jesus, and it was given to them personally. It has been given to me personally, this truth, by the grace and the mercy of God, and through the disciplining of the Holy Spirit, that I can truly say I know what it means when I break bread and I drink the wine. And when he had given thanks, Jesus had given thanks, he broke it, the bread, and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance. This is what it really means. We'll go on and see this when we partake of this. Symbolically, we really should be walking this every day of our lives and partaking of the bread and the flesh. Similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, this cup is a new covenant ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to call me affectionately to remembrance. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes. That's just not the little partaking of the bread and the wine. When he asks us to examine ourselves, we are proclaiming what Jesus, we are appropriating in us what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's why he's asking us to come and to confess, to lay our burdens before him. We're proclaiming what Jesus Christ on the cross has done for us. And we're going to see in this scripture, if we take lightly what he is saying, what we are doing to him. And the word of God will have to speak to us concerning this. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. If we are refusing to hear this message that Jesus Christ is giving us this morning and has been giving us, we are the same as profaning and counting unworthy what he has done on the cross. We're making a mockery of what he has done on the cross for us. And in Hebrews 10:29, well, I'll start with 25. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, so as the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. For if we go on deliberately and willingly sinning after once acquiring the knowledge of truth, there is no longer any sacrifice left to atone for our sins, no further offering to which to look forward. There is nothing left for us then but a kind of awful and fearful prospect and expectation of divine judgment and the fury of burning wrath and indignation which will consume those who put themselves in opposition to God. If we continue to walk in despise and contempt of partaking of this bread, of drinking of his blood, then we are putting ourselves in a place of the divine judgment and fury of burning wrath and indignation which will consume those who put ourselves in opposition to God. Any person who has violated and thus rejected and set at naught the law of Moses is put to death without pity or mercy. on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse, verse 29, how much sterner and heavier the punishment? Do you suppose he will be judged to deserve who has spurned and thus trampled underfoot the Son of God, and who has considered the covenant blood by which he was consecrated common and unhallowed, thus profaning it and insulting and outraging the Holy Spirit, who imparts grace, the unmerited favor and pleasing of God? You know, so often when God has spoken to us, we have had despise and contempt for it. We have taken very lightly. We haven't shown any reverential fear of the Lord. When he has spoken, we haven't listened. We haven't heeded. Instead, we wanted to turn around and point the finger. Point the finger at the one who was speaking, or point the finger at someone else and says, it doesn't apply to me. It isn't right. And if we continue to do that, did you hear in his word what he said will come upon us? We are making a mockery of it. And if we go too far with him, if we read on, we will see what will happen. It is a fearful and terrible thing to incur the divine penalties and to be cast in the hands of the living God. Oh God, I pray for that reverential fear that we need to have of him. I pray for that, because we have for too long taken lightly what he is saying. The taking of the blood and the eating of the flesh has been too distasteful to us. It has been a disdainful thing, and it has been despiseful and contemptible to us. And the Lord says, no longer, my children. No longer. We must learn to take the beam out of our own eyes before we can remove the speck. And there does come taking the speck out of your brother's eyes. That's where the disciplining will come of the Lord. And we'll see that even as we read on. Verse 28 in 1 Corinthians 11. Let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Beloved, I'm not just talking this morning as we take of the blood represented by the grape juice and the body which represented by the bread. I'm talking about every day of our life. I'm talking about really picking up our cross and following him, denying ourselves, examining our hearts, cleaning out the temple, which we spoke about earlier. The temple has been defiled. Our soul has been defiled. We are no longer ruled by the spirit that is within us, that was breathed into us. Instead, our soul is ruling us. And the Lord is saying, my children, you must eat my flesh and you must drink my blood, and you must clean out this temple that is defiled. 29, for anyone who eats and drinks without discriminating and recognizing with due appreciation that it is Christ's body, eats and drinks a sentence, a verdict, a judgment upon himself. We just read about that in Hebrews 10. That fearless and unworthy participation, listen to this, listen carefully, that careless and unworthy participation is the reason many of you are weak and sickly, and quite enough of you are fallen into the sleep of death. We are not walking in the inheritance that Christ has for us. We are not receiving the atoning blood and the broken body, what has done for us, or we would be walking in healthy and whole bodies. We are not. We are not, because we are not discerning the body correctly. It's quite clear here. That was verse 30. For if we searchingly examined ourselves, and how often has he asked us to every time we've come here? if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings, and recognizing our own condition, we should not be judged and penalty decreed by divine judgment. If we would do that, we won't have to fall into the hands of the Lord. But we don't, do we? So in verse 32, he says, but when we fall short, when we don't discern what we're supposed to discern, but when we fall short and are judged by the Lord, we are what? Disciplined and chastened, so that we may not finally be condemned to eternal judgment, punishment along with the world. I turn to Hebrews 12. Verse 7. Since we are falling short of discerning the body like we should be discerning, then his discipline has to come upon us. We talk about revelation and disciplining of the Lord. I've been going through the disciplining of the Lord. The Lord has chosen something that has confounded the wise to discipline this body. And since we have spurned the discipline of the Lord, spurned what God is, the discerning of the body, he has to send his discipline. And in Hebrews 12, verse 7, it says, I'll start up with verse 6. The Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves. Oftentimes we thought, well, my God wouldn't speak to me that way. The word says the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves. And he punishes, he even scourges every son whom he accepts and welcomes to his heart and cherishes. Oh, people, I wish you knew how much he really cherishes us. How much he really loves us. We know it in our heads, but because of the strongholds that are there in our soul, we don't really know it in our hearts. And this morning when we were in intercessory prayer, he said so strongly and so mightily, my children, I know your every need. I love you. I care for each one of you. And there is not a need in your life that I do not want to go unnoticed, untouched, because I care for you. And you know, people, it isn't a matter of our worthiness. Get this through your head. He's not asking we be worthy before we receive. He's asking us to receive because he loves us. So it has nothing. You can't believe the lie of the enemy that says, oh, I'm not worthy to receive this. It's not a matter of worthiness. It's just his great mercy and his grace and his love. He accepts and welcomes to his heart and cherishes each and every one of us. The word says, cast your burden upon the Lord because, why? Because he cares for you people. We're going to know what that caring for us means. We're going to know it in our heart, not our head. And we're going to know it because of the discipline that is going to come in our lives. And we're going to want the discipline. He wants a clean temple, people, through which his spirit can flow. The world is not seeing the power of Christ in and through us because our temples are defiled. They're unclean. And because of his great mercy and love, he is disciplining us. He has been speaking to us the way he has been speaking to us. And he says in verse 7, you must submit to and endure correction for discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not thus train and correct and discipline? People, this submitting is not only to the self-examination of your own heart between you and God. But this submitting is to one another. We're to honor each one another as better than ourselves. We're to deem one another as better than ourselves. We are to submit to one another. We are to confess our sins to one another. God says in 2 Chronicles 7:20, if someone turn to that for me. Tony, turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. This submitting must come through the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ. And if we are in a place where we're discerning the body as Jesus Christ wants us to discern, if we have removed the beam out of our own eye, then we will be prepared to remove the speck out of other people's eyes through the discerning of the Spirit. And if this becomes a way of our life, discerning the body of Christ within us, partaking of the flesh and eating of the blood, we will be able in turn around and discern for others. And there will be release and there will be freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Jesus Christ did not do this for naught. Let's not take it that way. Let's not take lightly the shed blood of Jesus and the broken body. People, there is life in it. There is life abundant. There is wholeness and completeness, people. Hallelujah. Wholeness and completeness. I no longer have to walk in the crippled emotion. I no longer have to walk in the fears. I no longer have to walk in the physical problems. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Let's clean up our temples. Let's discern the body as He has asked us to discern it. Let's really drink the blood of Jesus and eat His flesh, as distasteful as it may appear to us. Let's willingly say, I will, Lord. Help my unwillingness. I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. I'm afraid, Lord. Let your love come and cast that fear out. For truly I am free in Jesus Christ. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is real liberty. Amen. Amen.